Good morning. Now, that final rush of people that came in, it's not because the elders are very tardy. It's simply that Kirk Session meets for this service of worship because we are going to be ordaining and admitting elders, and Kirk Session is in session at that time. So we have to meet to hear objections. And Derek assured me that all of the people who came to object didn't have proof with them, so we're going to go ahead anyway. So, seriously though, it is right that we enjoy worship and we're allowed to laugh in church. But it is a moment which is very important to us. So, we'll come to that part in our service later. And Marian is waiting patiently to take us through the intimations.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Visitors may wish to sign our visitor's book. New elders, we are delighted that new elders will be ordained and admitted this morning to our Kirk Session. Cash, Kids in Church, will be with us next Sunday, the 7th of May. The stated annual meeting of the congregation will take place on Sunday, the 14th of May, after worship. Reports for the meeting should be sent to the clerks by the 7th of May, and the email is there. West Fife Villages Churches Mission Task Force. A mission task force is being set up to take forward mission across our cluster of churches. Two volunteers are sought to take up the places available to Cairney Hill. Please contact the clerks, Rob and Rosemary, if this is something you can contribute to. Chocolate wanted. For the gala this year, the 10th of June, we are reviving the chocolate dip. Please bring donations of unwanted chocolate to church any Sunday before then. There are further intimations on the printed sheet. This can be viewed on Facebook or downloaded from our website if you do not have a copy. And finally, here's a quick look at the order of service.
It is good to be here in worship. It is good that God has called us to this place. It is good to know that we are chosen by Him, gifted by Him, enabled by Him. And so we turn to worship for this morning. We sing, first of all, hymn number 405. We sing the praise of Him who died.
Yeah.
Let's bless our offering. Almighty God, receive from us the gifts that we offer, things to do with our time, our talent, and our money. Bless our giving. Use it in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now Alistair is going to lead us in our prayers.
So let's now draw near to God in prayer. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you gladly singing the praise of him who died upon the cross. We are your resurrection people, and through faith in Jesus, we can each declare of him, my Lord and my God. O God, you are the creator and sustainer of this vast universe. You are over all your creation, yet also involved in your creation. Heaven and earth cannot contain you, and still less the world of our thoughts. So much we cannot comprehend, and never will, this side of eternity. Yet you give us your revelation in the Bible, and supremely in Jesus Christ himself. The Bible, containing the simple gospel, yet stretching the minds of the greatest theologians and scholars. Meekness and majesty, oh what a mystery. Thank you that you are God and we are not. O Father, our hope. O Son, our refuge. O Holy Spirit, our protection. Holy Trinity, glory to you. Heavenly Father, we bring you our praise, but we also bring our confessions, asking you for forgiveness. We know how our constant wrongdoings can make us feel guilty and ashamed, maybe even ashamed to speak to you. Yet, as your children, we can come boldly before your throne to receive mercy and grace. Forgive us for times we have thought of ourselves more highly than we ought. Perhaps we can do that unconsciously in our interactions with others and not just deliberately. May we remember that we all have different gifts. We are better at some things than other people, and they are better at other things which we are not good at. May we have the humility to realise that. For all our sins, we are truly sorry. And hear us in this moment of silence. Please forgive us. Accept us as your children and renew us, even though we don't deserve it. Thank you for Jesus' blood, which makes us clean. Father, we're here in church today to worship you and to celebrate your love. May the words we sing and say and the joy with which we come help each of us to celebrate. As we are gathered, may we know that Jesus is here among us, blessing our gathering, heightening our joy, lifting us to new levels of worship and praise. Help us to see him more clearly and to believe in him more surely as he makes himself known to us through every part of this service. So Father, hear us now as we join in saying these words of prayer together, as we say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to read from the Bible now, a short passage from Paul's letter to the Romans, and then the story of Jesus appearing to Thomas from John's Gospel. And Marion is going to read for us. No, we're not. We're going to sing, aren't we? I keep telling you, I'll get this right one day. I've not been here very long. Yes, let's sing hymn 426.
Reading this morning is from Romans chapter 12, verses 3-8, and it's entitled One in Christ. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts, according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. The second reading is from John chapter 20, verses 24 to 31. Jesus appears to Thomas. Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
One of the faults in the design of technology is where the gadget in question is created by someone who loves tech to be used by other people who love tech. And there are numerous examples of this. I have helped a number of people with in-car technology. In fact, just last Sunday, one of my folk who had to go somewhere else and couldn't be at worship stopped the car outside the church, dashed in and said, "Norman, my sat-nav's sending me back home. That's not where I want to go." And so I went out to the car and reset the sat-nav. It's great, but if you can't program it, it's not much use. One car that we had in the family a few years ago was so complicated that changing the clock for the hour change was almost impossible. Every time I had to do the unimaginable, and this is a man thing, I know that, I had to get the manual out. Now, those of you who know me know I only look at instructions when I'm really stuck. It was such a complicated process. How many of us know jokes about asking our grandchildren when we can't work our phone, the remote for the TV or whatever? I remember my parents buying a new television and my father looking at this impossible gadget that would change the channel for him, and he just looked at it, and he was a clever man, but it wasn't designed for him. It was designed for people who wanted to do all sorts of incredible things with the technology. He wanted to switch between channels. And when you need help, the very worst person to get is the person who knows exactly what to do. How many of us have had child or grandchild go, "Oh, it's easy, you just do and doesn't really help us. And that's true in all sorts of aspects of life. Very often the expert isn't the best person to help us. Actually, it's the person who's not an expert. It's the person who has struggled with something who is more able to help we who are struggling. And when we are struggling in life, it is not the person who has floated through life without any troubles that is able to help. It's the person who's been through what we're going through who can help us. How many self-help groups are based on that premise? That the person who has already been through this can help us when we're going through the same thing. Informally, it is often the friend who is able to say, "I understand," who is best suited to help us and support us. And for us, it is often our struggles in life that enable us to support others. I sometimes wonder if it is my failures that are more important than my successes, the places where I make a mess of things and have to sort things out allow me to sympathise with folk who make mistakes. And sometimes I even think it's a good thing when ministers don't get things right at the front of the church, because then other people can get up and make a mistake and not go, oh, you've no idea the number of people who said, oh, I'm really sorry I stumbled over a word in the reading. It's not perfection that always works. Our imperfections are important. And it strikes me how honest the Bible is about imperfection. If you look at the great men and women of the Bible, they almost all have serious flaws. I can't think of one that is perfect. Apart from Jesus. But then again, he is the Son of God. Since Easter, we've been looking at resurrection stories. And more specifically, looking at the resurrection through the eyes and experience of different people. As we've looked at resurrection people, a constant theme has been that of failure. The failure to recognize Jesus, the failure to understand what is happening, the failure to do and say the right things. Clearly, the disciples remembered and told their stories of failure. They must have told this in a way that prevented their followers in later time omitting things from the record. They were very clear about their failures. There is honesty in the record that we have in the Gospels. One of the mistakes that we often make is to put people on a pedestal, to think that there are people who are most certainly above and beyond what we are. We can do this with people we admire in the present. Now, many years ago, I had a belief that ministers were really special. Well, you put them several feet above contradiction in a pulpit. But I thought that ministers were somehow different. I've changed my mind over the years. Of course, it's much easier to do this with people from the past, and particularly biblical saints. It's not a bad thing that we admire the good that we see in others and the things that they do well. But it is also good that we remember that no one is perfect. In the resurrection stories, the disciples are very much remembered for their imperfection. They all doubt the evidence that is clearly before them. And so that's why I've often said, why did Thomas get that Doubting Thomas nickname? Why has his name become synonymous with doubt when all the others did exactly the same? It seems unfair. They all needed physical proof of Jesus' presence. One of the things we've been noting as we've gone through the stories and lots of the other Bible stories is that all of these stories were written with purpose. Surely the reason for making something of the doubts that Thomas had is not about being negative. This is not merely a story of failure. Could it be the struggle to believe is that which became a strength? So that when Thomas told the story of Jesus' resurrection, he was able to say, look, I understand. I found it really difficult to believe. believe it or not, this is what I said and did. And so, because that story was so central to who he was, it became one of his strengths. Rather than doubt being a weakness, it had become a strength. Now, the interesting thing here is when I started this sermon, I was wondering why on earth I'd chosen that quotation that I put underneath it. Sometimes sermons have a life of their own. It was not my intention, really, to refer much to that quotation. And yet, as I started to write, it became clear this is where I was heading. There lives more faith in honest doubt, believe me, than in half the creeds, said Alfred Lord Tennyson. I wonder how many of us, in the depth of our being, believe absolutely in Jesus as Saviour and Lord, and yet at the same time find that doubt comes naturally. In the letter to the Hebrews, the writer says, "Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." There are many concerns at the moment, and not least within the church. I worry about the future. And what I ask God for is a kind of certainty. Let me know everything so that I can be certain about where we're going. And actually, what I need is faith. It is to faith that we are called. I wonder if Thomas found strength in his doubts as he went out with the gospel. Strength not in himself, but because he was doubting Thomas. And because he was doubting Thomas, his trust was in Jesus who had called him. And if legend is true, Thomas took the gospel further than any of the others, because there is that legend that he went all the way to India. Perhaps we should think of our weakness as something that belongs to God. It's easy to look at the things we think we can do pretty well. But often we say, God, well, really what God wants is only the best of us. Well, that's not true. God wants the whole of us. And it is often our weakness that enables us to speak to a world that has many doubts and uncertainties. If we go to that reading from Romans, that we should not think of ourselves more highly than we ought. There's good in there. And often, not thinking more highly than we should stands as a kind of barrier when someone comes up to us and says, "The Kirk Session have discussed you and they're going to ask you to be an elder." And a lot of people have said, "Are you sure? Me?" I certainly did it, although the church where I was made an elder maybe took things a little bit too far by ordaining me as an elder on the 1st of April. But that has always put a smile on my face. In Christ, God calls each one of us. We all have different gifts and a different part to play in the church. God calls each one of us knowing exactly who and what we are, because sometimes with my head in my hands, I say, "Oh, God, why did you call me?" And the answer is that God knew me inside out, and yet he called me. In service, we offer to God our strengths and our weaknesses. And it's God's choice, not ours. Amen. Before we come to that part of our service where we ordain and admit elders, we're going to sing hymn 644, O Jesus, I Have Promised. We have the joy of using our gifts as members of the church, the body of Christ, continuing Jesus' ministry in the world today. Those who are chosen for the office of the eldership have the particular responsibility of caring for God's people and exercising oversight and leadership. Today, the Kirk session is met to ordain Irene Scott to the office of the eldership and to admit Alistair Douglas Campbell and Irene Scott as elders in this congregation. Due notice has been given, no objection has been made, and we therefore proceed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, who being ascended on high, has given gifts for the building up of the body of Christ. We are met to ordain to the office of the eldership and to admit to that office in this congregation both Irene and Alistair. In this act, the Church of Scotland, as part of the Holy Catholic or Universal Church, worshipping one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, affirms anew its belief in the gospel of the sovereign grace and love of God, wherein, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, incarnate, crucified, and risen, he freely offers to all, upon repentance and faith, the forgiveness of sins, renewal by the Holy Spirit, and eternal life. He calls upon them to labor in the fellowship of faith for the advancement of the kingdom of God throughout the world. The Church of Scotland acknowledges the Word of God, which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, to be the supreme rule of faith and life. The Church of Scotland holds as its subordinate standard the Westminster Confession of Faith, recognising liberty of opinion on such points of doctrine as do not enter into the substance of the faith, and claiming the right, in dependence upon the promised guidance of the Holy Spirit, to formulate, interpret, or modify its subordinate standards, always in agreement with the Word of God and the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the said confession, of which agreement the Church itself shall be sole judge. In view of this declaration, you are now required to answer a question. Would you like to both come out and stand at the front, please? Do you believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith? And do you promise to seek the unity and peace of this Church, to uphold the doctrine, worship, government, and discipline, and to take your due part in the administration of its affairs? The Lord bless you and enable you to faithfully keep this promise. You now have to sign. And I'm going to ask one of our one of our session clerks to come and read the formula, since it's traditional that you ask the clerk to read.
Formula for the ordination and admittance of elders to Kirk Session. I believe the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith contained in the Confession of Faith of this Church. I acknowledge the Presbyterian government of this Church to be agreeable to the Word of God, and promise that I will submit thereto and concur therewith. I promise to observe the order of worship and the administration of all public ordinances as the same are or may be allowed in this Church. And then it's to be signed.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you have chosen for yourself a Church in which your Holy Spirit fills and inspires men and women to serve your purposes in the world. We give thanks for your servants whom you have called to the eldership. We praise and thank you for the gifts you have given to those who serve as elders in this congregation. We ask your blessing upon Alistair and Irene as we ordain and admit them to the office of eldership within the Church of Jesus Christ. Through the power of your Holy Spirit, fill their hearts with love for you and for the people committed to their care. Give them wisdom and vision as they take their place within the Kirk Session. Keep them faithful to the end in all their service of the kingdom of God, that when the chief shepherd appears, they may receive glory, a crown which never fades. In asking your blessing for these your servants, we as a congregation commit ourselves to supporting them in the exercise of their duties. Together, we seek to bring glory to your name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King and Head of the Church, I declare you to have been ordained to the office of the eldership, and I now admit you to office as elder in this congregation and parish. And in token of welcome, it's a tradition that the Kirk Session offer you the right hand of fellowship. So would the elders like to congratulate their new fellow elders? And you're allowed to go back to your seats. It is good to welcome you as elders in this congregation, and we look forward to your place within Kirk Session, to which you've both been several times. And would anybody believe that you've remained silent until formerly elders? No, and that's not the case. And of course, it is absolutely right that anyone who wishes to attend a Kirk Session meeting is entitled to do so. It is an open and public meeting, unless there are places where we have to meet in private. So if you ever feel the desire to come to Kirk Session, please do so. What I should say to you both is that the Kirk Session will adjourn its meeting following worship. So following worship, I would ask the Kirk Session to meet in the Irene Patterson room. And of course, you two should join with us there. It'll only take 2 minutes for us to say a welcome to the meeting and a blessing. We're going to pray. Alistair.
There's nothing like being put to work right away. Let's draw near to God in prayer. Lord, when we wake up in the morning, thank you for being there. When we go about our daily work, thank you, God, for being there. When we have leisure time with others, thank you, God, for being there. And when we go to bed at night, thank you, God, for being there. Heavenly Father, in a week when another conflict reaches our television screens, we bring before you the conflict in Sudan. We pray that the evacuation efforts of the UK and other nations help and have helped many of the citizens to safety. We include the family from Dunfermline and many others making their way out by roads. We pray for their safety. We remember too those unable to leave, cut up in a needless catastrophe. And importantly, we pray that the two sides would back down from their power struggle and work towards ruling the country peacefully. We pray for the families of the Glasgow school teacher, Mairel Sturrock, murdered along with her unborn baby, and the families too of her fiancé. Three lives violently and tragically destroyed. And pray for those families in their shock and disbelief. Hear our prayer, Lord, for those who are suffering pain. Thank you for the advances in medicine that mean that the suffering of people who have painful, life-limiting conditions can now be greatly alleviated. Comfort them and their families. My gracious Lord, God, we pray for nurses and doctors and others who care for terminally ill patients. Thank you for the dedication and skills of those working in palliative medicine, therapy, respite care, bereavement support, and other services for patients and families. Lord Jesus, we remember your humility and eagerness to learn from teachers and to grow in knowledge and wisdom. We pray for those whom you have called to further study of your word at Bible colleges around the world. We ask for financial provision for those who have made great sacrifices out of their poverty to commit themselves to their studies. Please give them perseverance to accompany their zeal, understanding as they grapple with difficult but rewarding truths, and insight into how to apply their knowledge. Above all, cause their hearts to be warmed with love for you as they study, and for those to whom you call them to minister. On this special day for our church, we pray for our enlarged Kirk session. Each individual elder with their own gifts, but belonging to all the others. Whatever the particular gift, whether prophesying, serving, teaching, encouraging, giving, or leading, may they be used for the good of the church and to your glory. Father, hear us now as we bring our own personal silent prayers before you for those we know in need of your love and care at this time. So, Father, please hear our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our final hymn is number 439. Look, ye saints, the sight is glorious. In the presence of the Holy Spirit, to the glory of the Father, and the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.